fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday, the first day of October, year of our Lord, 2021. Welcome to the John Moore Show. I'm proud to say we do say the Pledge of Allegiance like we did last night at the Crawford County Republican dinner, the Lincoln Day dinner, at which we started out with having the Pledge of Allegiance. And here we go. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hands, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Prepper tip of the day, go backpacking. Now, I'm not talking about camping out of the back of a car or truck, no. Backpacking, where everything you need for, oh, maybe 3 days is on your back. Everything is on your back. One trip only. So that's your prepper tip. Though you learn a lot, by the way. You learn not to take what to not take in the woods. Well, this first hour on Fridays, we talk with Tom Berryhill about emergency survival communications. If Tom calls in, we will have him with us. If not, we will go to open lines. And the second hour, we'll have Dr. Pete with us. And Dr. Pete will be, and I and all of you will be talking about health-related matters. And the third hour, we will have open lines. Last night, I did help out. I was a volunteer at the annual Crawford County Lincoln Day event for the Republican Party in Crawford County, Missouri. We had the Lieutenant Governor of Missouri there, Mike Kehoe. Good to see Mike again. We had a great time, great food, great camaraderie. Filled up the rec line hall at Cuba, Missouri, with about 200 people. And I look forward to this event every year. My job this year was to collect tickets and money at the entrance and greet everybody as they showed up. We had a silent auction, which was very successful, a live auction where some cakes and pies were auctioned off for outrageous amounts of money. That's always fun to see people bidding against each other to get a cake or a pie for more than $100. That's another fundraiser, obviously. The Boy Scouts in Cuba presented the colors, led us in the Pledge of Allegiance, and at the end of the event, they retired the colors. A fine group of young men that did a great job there. So it's good to be have some things back to normal. Not a single person wore a mask last night. Not one out of the 200 or so people that showed up, men, women, and children. And it does look like we now have patiently waiting in the green room, my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom began a quest more than half a century ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with emergency survival communications, ham radio, and electronics. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning.
Okay, I need to turn my volume up. I can barely hear you. Give me a count.
I hear you.
That's fine. Okay. My engineer turned the volume up on your end, and that's great. Tom, we're continuing to hear ongoing problems from the recent hurricane down on the Gulf of Mexico, problems with infrastructure, problems with communications. That pretty much happens every time there's a major disaster, doesn't it, sir?
Well, it does, and that's where ham radio can be handy. If you don't have a ham radio license, you can use GMRS equipment. That would give you local coverage, and it would do pretty good. So the only thing you want to stay away from are the small handheld walkie-talkies. They're not going to go very far. Now, if you just have to talk around a neighborhood, that would be fine. You need wider range coverage, I would go with some high-power mobile units. You could even set one up inside the house with a power supply. If the electric's on, if it's not on, well, you'll have to have a battery or just keep it in the car. Pretty simple to do, and that would give you some pretty good coverage, maybe 10 to 20 miles, depending on the height above ground of your antenna.
Right. Well, my second Lincoln Town car, which I still have, my 2002, was pretty heavily modified. I was still doing a lot of investigative work, occasional bodyguard assignment back then. And the radios I've gotten there can receive pretty much every frequency known to mankind because of the radios I've got installed. I also can plug in electric saw in the back, a refrigerator, because I've got an inverter that puts out 110 volts to run small appliances or anything I need to plug in there, lights, whatever it might be, a refrigerator, electric saw, like I said, drill, electric drill. And, of course, I can talk in all the ham frequencies and some other select frequencies as well as receive all the emergency frequencies, all the military frequencies, and commercial frequencies. I had a professional help me did the install for me. He does all the installs for all the emergency, the first responders in our area, a Motorola certified technician. You don't need to go to the extent that I did to be able to talk to people, though, do you, sir?
No, you really don't. It can be simpler than that. The biggest problem, if you want to listen to all these different agencies, is many of them have encrypted their transmissions, so you won't be able to hear anything except some noise. That's the only downside to the modern equipment. If they encrypt it, you can forget about it.
Well, it still leaves many frequencies that aren't. Now, out here,
it's
they
true.
Have not... They have, frequently, there's not a budget or even a perceived need to go to encryption when you get away from these cities. Fire departments rarely, especially when you get away from the cities, fire departments rarely do encryption. Paramedics, the same thing, rarely do encryption. All the various services, the road crews never use encryption that I'm aware of. And the utility repair companies don't use encryption. If it's a major disaster, you're going to see involvement of the road crews, the utility companies, and other entities that have, and never will probably, use encryption, will they, sir?
I don't know, John. It depends on how they're set up. But I would think that they would have open transmissions. It would probably be a lot better. The law enforcement may still have encrypted transmissions. Hard to say. I know around where I am, they don't encrypt everything. They can, but they don't. And a lot of the radios just have it built in. So when they set these things up, sometimes as a standard practice, they just flip that switch on the programming unit and make it encrypted. So that's just the way it is nowadays. The newer digital equipment that they use, it's pretty much built into it. So it's not a big issue to encrypt those transmissions. I think it's good in some ways for certain police actions, perhaps, but on the other hand, I think it's good to let some of that be open so that the public can hear it, because you never know. The public might hear that your police agency is doing a certain investigation or looking for a criminal, and the public hears this, and they are then on the lookout for that same criminal. And in rural areas, that's very important, because they do rely on a lot of input from the community. So it's not always a good thing to have those transmissions encrypted. Now, some of the I think the fire departments are still on analog. They may not have even gone to digital. One of the reasons is in these rural areas, most of the fire departments are volunteer. And some of these volunteer firemen have to buy their own equipment, so they don't want to spend an excessive amount of money for some of the digital type of equipment when the analog will work perfectly fine for what they're doing.
Well, I know in my area, many of the volunteer firemen are young people in their 20s. Finances are very, very tight for them. They're driving a 20-year-old truck, barely getting by, and spending $50 or $100 is a really big deal for one of these young people, a really big deal. So that's what you're saying, Tom, is absolutely true. And if you got a question or comment about emergency communications, power supplies, ham radio, just give us a call at 512-248-8252. Well, I'm sitting here looking at one of our favorite websites when it comes to getting started and moving forward. That's the ARRL, that's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lima .org website. That's the American Radio Relay League. They've been around for about a century. And it's one-stop shopping for a newbie and a lot of information for an experienced ham radio person as well, isn't there, Tom?
Yes, that's very true. And that's a good place to start if you have any interest at all in ham radio. That's a good place to start.
Well, what we like, and we have new listeners every week. Talk radio is a classroom with a revolving door. We always have new students coming in the door. If you're interested in ham radio, you want to know what's going on in the world, go to the ARRL.website, and there's a place there where you can find your local ham radio club. That will be the biggest, quickest step forward that you can do, is locating and becoming part of your local ham radio club, right, Tom?
That's true, because that's where you'll find like-minded people, and they will be able to help you get started. They will also, in most cases, the local ham club will be the volunteer examiners. So if you want to take the test to obtain your call sign and get on the air, get your ham radio license, well, it will be those same people that you see at the club meetings. So that's a really important thing to do, and you'll learn a lot from the club's activities and their discussion groups and so on. And they will, many of the clubs will have training sessions where they will discuss ham radio topics and the technical issues that are involved and get you ready to take that test. So it's really not that difficult to do if you just put a little bit of effort into studying few times a week or two or three, maybe 4 weeks. I think everybody could pass that test. They've made it a lot simpler. You don't need all the technical requirements that you had to have in the old days. It's much, much simpler, and no more Morse code. So it's all simple, right, to get in, and even young, very young children pass that test all the time.
Well, Tom, that's been about it was a few years back. My wife and I went camping one weekend. I was expecting an important phone call. So because of my knowledge from ham radio, I was able to set up a external antenna for my cellular telephone and be able to receive and make telephone calls when nobody else could, because I had the knowledge because of my ham radio license that I got. I had the equipment because of my ham radio involvement to do what nobody else could do, which was set up an external antenna for my cell phone and make and receive phone calls from a remote area that nobody, and there was about 10 or 12 other people that had cell phones there at the campsite. Nobody else's cell phones would work except mine, because I had that knowledge as a consequence of getting involved in ham radio. So there's other uses for ham radio knowledge other than just ham radio, isn't there, sir?
Yeah, that's really true. And, you know, the older cell phones, I had several of these flip phones, and they had a little plug on the back of them. There was like a hole that had been plugged up with a rubber plug. You could pry that out of there, and there was a connector down in there, and that was really to hook up test equipment to it for testing the final operation of the radio, but that would also allow to use it as an external antenna socket. And I had a little cable that I set up for one of those phones that snapped down in there and plugged into that miniature connector, and then that came out to a larger, what's called an SMA connector. And then I had a directional antenna that you could put up maybe on a telescopic mast. I only used it a couple of times, but it was exactly what you were talking about. And now the phones don't have those sockets on them, or at least the ones I've seen don't. But there is another way to do it. And if you put that directional antenna, get it up 10, 20 feet off the ground, and point it towards that where the cell tower signal is the strongest, you can actually, at the end of that cable from the antenna, the coaxial cable, you can actually form a loop, just a piece of wire from the center conductor to the ground, just a small loop, and that will act as a coupling loop, and you just place your phone next to that loop. I think you might see the signal intensity increase that way. That will actually cause that antenna and that short transmission line, 20 feet or so, will cause that to be what's called a passive repeater, and it will pick up that signal from the directional antenna. It may be up in the air or even pulled by a wire up or a rope up into a tree. It will actually allow that antenna to couple into your phone without any direct connection at all. It
Absolutely.
Does work. It's not the best, but it does work. It will make the signal a little stronger, and that might be all it takes for you to get through.
Well, for those that live in remote areas, there's a company, used to be called Wilson Electronics, but now it's We Boost, two words, We, W-E, Boost. And they market and sell amplifiers for cell phones to be used in your home, in your business, and in your motor vehicle. That takes it's basically a repeater is what it is. It takes a weak signal and then repeats it out wirelessly and much stronger, and it takes your signal and repeats it out much stronger also I don't remember how many watts, but a number of watts to give you cell phone reception where otherwise there is none, which I have a Wii Boost device here at my place, and it works really nice. My cell phone works. I can receive phone calls. I can make phone calls. I can send and receive text messages. Nobody else around here can do that because they don't have the Wii Boost device. Now, down in this valley where I am, it's about, as the crow flies, probably 8 to 10 miles from the nearest cell phone tower. Over the roads is 12 miles. So there's a lot of interesting technology out there. Here's our break. Phone number is 512-248-8252.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Rebs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, you take the left wing, I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. A great way to, well, actually, the only practical way, quite frankly, to protect your car, your truck, your home, your generator from the effects of EMP. And you have great savings on EMP Shield devices at my website at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about emergency communications, ham radio, and related topics. If you have a question or comment on this topic only, we'll try to stick to this. Give us a call at 512-248-8252. Tom, our first caller here is Mike in Kentucky. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, howdy. If you have a local ham club that's kind of clicky, you know what I'm saying? They're kind of a little exclusive, a little snooty. Can you go outside that local ham club and get to a different area? I mean, it's not necessary that you get your license and everything through there. You can find somewhere else to test.
Well, I don't see where that would be an issue. Tom, you've had more experience with ham radio clubs than myself. What do you think, sir?
Well, I'm not a member of any ham club right now, but they do tend to get clicks into little subgroups and clicks, and
unfortunately, Mike is right. That does happen. But you can go elsewhere to take the test. You could never even go to any ham radio club until you're ready to take the test. You could study on your own or with your own group. And many people have done that. They form their own little club and are just a very informal gathering, and they maybe meet at a restaurant or a coffee shop or something, and then they discuss the issues that they're studying, the ham radio questions and answers, and they do it in a very informal, private way with their own little group of people. And then
it has its advantages, but
yes,
to share knowledge and resources and stuff like that has its advantages, but the other side of it, I guess, is if your location and stuff is unknown, you know, then you're kind of a little bit more anonymous. Of course, I guess really when it comes down to it, your signals can be triangulated and you can be found out where you're at if they're really looking for you. But is it a requirement to go through a club for the amateur radio league? You're supposed to actually be listed in a club or something?
No, you don't have. I'm not listed in any club. I used to be, but I'm
not either.
That's what I mean. Yeah. To get in, to get a license.
I have gone to various club meetings occasionally just to, because I knew some of the people. I might go and say hi, something like that. But to get the license, they're the one. Everything's a volunteer system now with FCC. If you want to get a ham radio license, you need to find a volunteer examiner group. In the old days, to get your first license, which was usually a novice, any ham radio operator that had a general class or higher license could send a letter to the FCC, and they would say, I just tested this person for their code speed, and they can send and receive Morse code at 5 words a minute. They certified that in writing, and then the FCC sent them the test package, and they administered that test at a kitchen table in the guy's house. That's how I got my first license. I went to a local guy's house, and that's how it was done. And I've done several tests myself as a volunteer examiner. But this was years ago, and now I think they have to have three. I think they need at least three FCC, I don't know if they certify them or American Radio Relay League certifies them. I've been so far away from that now that I don't know exactly. Yeah.
Have you ever heard of somebody going through a different country to get a license? Is the only way you can operate in the U.S. is if you're licensed through the...
If you got a license in another country, then in most cases you get a reciprocal operating agreement here, and you can use that foreign call sign in some cases that you have to modify your call sign a little bit, and you have to say operating portable or something like that. And I don't remember the rules on that anymore because I've never done anything like that. But you do hear them occasionally. But
that's
in
what
many
I meant.
Cases, if you have that license, you have a license from a foreign country, you may be able to get one here. I still think.
I know. And listening to Republic Broadcasting and other alternative media over the years, I've heard about people that are trying to do things like a U.S. national, where you kind of expatriate from your U.S. citizenship if you've got a license.
I'll address that after the break.
We do have a break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Friday, the first day of October. My website is thelibertyman.com. Yes, I do private consultations, details at my website. Yes, we have real estate offered for sale, and you need to check that out if you want to get out of the blue states and get into our wonderful red state of Missouri. Last but not least, energy cleaners, we have with us Tom Berryhill, the manufacturing energy cleaner, and he's working diligently to get the energy cleaners manufactured so I can get them and get them out to you and help you get your life back. That's what we do. That's our business, is helping people get their life back. If you're not doing the things you love, maybe walking in the park, go dancing, maybe play a little golf because of your arthritis pain, well, get yourself an energy cleaner and get past that pain, get back to doing the things you love to do. If you want to get the best night's sleep since you've been a child, well, the energy cleaner will help with that also. Get the details at my website. You can place your order right there using PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. You can send me a check. My address is there. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. There's a toll-free order line 24 hours a day. Here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Putting with Tom Berryhill, and Tom is in the process of helping Mike get some things squared away here. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, well, Mike was talking about the U.S. National and
that on that subject, the last time I renewed my ham license, I looked at that form very carefully, and I saw nothing on there asking for any type of citizenship information. It didn't ask if you were a U.S. citizen, a U.S. national. They never asked for any of that. They did want a Social Security number. That's something new. And at this point, it's probably pretty difficult to find any. If you look on their database, you won't find any ham licenses that do not have what's called an FRN number. And that's where they will have that. They don't put the Social Security numbers public, but they will keep them in another file. And they will request or a tax identification number. I would assume you can maybe get an employer's ID number instead of a Social Security number. It all links back to the same thing, but they want that. And as to foreign operators, as long as you don't represent a foreign government, they do ask that question on the form too. But I do know that foreign operators come into this country all the time and use ham radio equipment, either with their own call sign issued in their country, and then they identify themselves as a portable or mobile station, or they can apply and get a license here, but I believe they still have to take the test. But in many cases, a person can have a license issued in a country where they may know somebody or have a connection, and they don't even have to take a test. That was done many times in the past. So it's hard to say, but there are laws that allow the reciprocal operating of this radio equipment, provided you have a license issued in another country. It's not hard to get the license here, but I understand the situation, Mike. A lot of people don't want to give out that kind of information that they're requesting. So you either do it or you just don't get the license. And in that case, you could get with a different type of station. It pretty much boils down to a CB radio. That'd be about it.
I will
also tell you that there's all kinds of illegal operations on the ham bands all the time. It's worse than ever before. And the people that do their dune buggies and they go off-roading and all that stuff, many of them are operating with ham radios. They're in the ham radio bands, and the ham radio operators will track them down. And the FCC will issue some very large fines. And you can look on their enforcement page to where they've caught, I remember one of them not too long ago was a taxi cab company in New York City, and they were using ham radio equipment to dispatch cabs. So it's easy to track them down, and they will. They can even... They can even triangulate on the HF. They have a very sophisticated HF system where they can triangulate down into a pretty pretty small area on the short wave frequencies. You can find the stations there, too. So I wouldn't recommend buying ham equipment, using it without a license, when it's so easy to get. But there's a lot of...
Well, the other thing I was going to...
People on there that use somebody else's call sign. That happens, too.
Well, or spouses, right? Spouses can use their husband or wife's call sign, but
let me tell you, there's been quite a few wives that got ham radio licenses, and they didn't know a dot from a dash, or they couldn't twist two wires together, but a so-called volunteer examiner took the test. you're laughing.
Now, the other thing is, because hams are...
I'm not laughing because it's happened many times. And I'll tell you what happens in many of those cases. Somebody will complain about it. And if they get a complaint, the FCC will look into it, and they'll call that person in to be tested. Take the test again. That person, personally, has to show up and take that test. If they fail it, the license is revoked.
And they probably would be listed as somebody that does not have the character to hold a license ever again. They've got that clause in there that if they decide that they don't believe you have the character to hold a license, then you're out of luck. But now the other thing, as I want to mention about, is since hams are all into preparedness and being able to be ready at the ready for, you know, whatever, the aftermath of a tornado and emergency communications, even the EMP type stuff, have you kept up with the provisions that have been changed since, I think, the Cold War? Basically, they've revised the provisions for being able to broadcast without a license during an emergency if you're broadcasting pertaining to...
Well, you know, I think the bottom line there is what is the definition of an emergency?
And yeah, well, yeah, about 30 some.
Their definition, well, the FCC's definition in the congressional record, you know, the CFR, they may have a different definition than the person doing the transmitting. So the fines are pretty steep.
Well, what I've heard is you have to actually notify them that you're broadcasting in this emergency situation, and they have the result of objecting to it or granting it, you know, temporary authority or whatever. But if you're talking about some crazy disaster like a super tornado that wipes out, you know, 300 miles of country, you know, 40 miles wide, or like I think there was a story out of Florida where these crisscrossing hurricanes wiped out a whole bunch of infrastructure in Florida, and there was a channel, local Channel 10 down there that broadcast emergency information. It was the only station on the air. If you remember those tornadoes, I think it was when W was elected. I mean, hurricanes, they formed a big X across Florida, and the only counties that voted for Gore or that was a lot of people pointed that out. It was weird because those counties that were mainly affected in those crisscrossing hurricanes were voted for one candidate or another, and I can't remember which one it was. Might have been Al Gore, but there was a Channel 10 down there that was the only channel that was on the air during that emergency broadcasting, you know, public service announcements and all that sort of stuff. This is the days of analog television and low-power TV, which they've tried to completely get rid of, which is almost, you know, amateur, nonprofit, community-oriented, you know, hyper-local media. But it seems to me like the FCC has totally been hijacked by the cell phone industry, and they seem to get whatever they want, even to the point to where they're destroying the C-band.
Because the frequencies are very valuable, and the FCC makes money off of it. They auction those frequencies off.
The auction was a failure.
Monopoly operating on those frequencies.
Well, the auction was a total failure, and they made out like there was going to be a spectrum crunch, and there wasn't. And there wasn't a spectrum crunch, but they've ruined Channel 2 through 6 for television whatsoever. There's like two stations now that are emergency temporary authority experimenting on Channel 6, but they're using it for FM radio on 87.9. So I think there's one in Los Angeles and one somewhere else, but they've totally destroyed local media. Only the big boys get to play in that park now. And like I said, the big C-band dishes that you used to be able to get and pull down, you know, free-to-air satellites, feeds and networks, they've been destroyed because they want two 200 megahertz channels or two 100 megahertz channels in the downlink frequencies for 5G. I forget what that is, 10.5 to 11.2 gigahertz. And so every dish that, and they're doubling the C-band hosting fees. I hope that RBN can stay on KU-band, but all those geosynchronous satellites are about to be made obsolete by Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. And they're competing to have orbital Wi-Fi to double the world's capacity. basically make the Clark band, Clark Belt satellites obsolete. But what's it going to do for the ozone layer to have 59,000 satellites that have to constantly be maintained and new launches every 5 years? There's a commentary period open right now on this for Elon Musk's Mars ambitions, but I never did hear about any commentary period for his SpaceNet. Go back to 2009, you can find an article out of Denver, Colorado, where a guy looked at the ozone-depleting chemicals. They banned the asthma inhalers that had CFCs. Millions of people's asthma inhalers were banned. But four launches of the space shuttle in 2009 did more damage to the ozone layer than all those millions of asthma inhalers. And now China has this runaway styrofoam industry, and Elon Musk wants to launch 60,000 satellites, you know, plus all his stuff to go to Mars. So it's clear that our government's hijacked and our agencies are captured. And they're squashing anybody that they can squash to justify their authority, because of the basically, their authority is useless to protect us. It's going to these billionaires and these monster industries.
Well, COVID is amplified. I agree with a lot of that, yeah. Mike. And I'll tell you what, a friend of mine who was a top-level engineer in field service, he's one of the top guys in his state, for the whole state. He was with Verizon. He's now retired, and he said the FCC has pretty much been swept aside, and it's just a money-gathering organization. They make money off these, and you're right about the cell phone industry. That's where the money is. And they don't care much about the ham operators and land mobile and a lot of that stuff. You can get away with a lot if you want to take the chance. But if you get caught, the fines are very steep. And
well, I've set a world record fine for my local
ham bands. I don't think ham radio will exist in 10 years. I really don't. I think ham radio will be a thing of the past in the coming years. And
they're trying to get rid of all.
They will turn to shortwave spectrum. They'll just turn them loose. It'll be like CB. You just buy a radio and get on there. That's where it's going. That's where it's going to hit.
Okay.
Well, all right. I'll let you go.
Okay, Mike. Thanks for the call. Our next caller is Joe in Oklahoma. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Appreciated all the comments from the previous caller. I think he's spot on most issues. With regard to the licensing, I called in a year or two ago and visited with you, both of you, about the licensing requirements. And I don't recall if I mentioned at that time, but listening to the previous caller's comments, along with Tom's, write this down. Public law. 93-579. And that I had a general class license until the ARRL mandated a federal identifier. Well, most people think your federal identifier is your Social Security number. Well, public law 93-579, which is on the a cover page on many federal forms, basically paraphrasing, says that anyone who denies an individual any right, benefit, or privilege based upon their refusal to give a Social Security number is punishable by a fine of $1,500 and 1 year in prison. And that's straight from the public law. And that trumps anything ARRL says. But I dropped my general license. I enjoyed amateur radio. But it's kind of like the COVID shot. I'm not going to play the game. And so I've been off the air. I've thought about getting into it, but then I keep running into this deal. Here's a private business, the ARRL, mandating that I have a federal identifier, and I'm repulsed by that. That goes against the grain of everything I thought amateur radio has stood for. So, with that said, I'll let you go. I enjoy your conversation, and Tom, I enjoy listening to you. You and John both have a lot of good information, and I thank
you
for your time.
Well, you know something? Last time I renewed my license, and I had to
was punishable by
give that Social Security number, I thought about just letting it go myself. I didn't, but I really gave it some consideration. And I'll say a few more things about that, John, after the
break. We have a break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas. The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape. Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart, under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here, with me, in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Tom, I've got about 3 minutes here to get the information out you want to, sir.
Well, all I'm saying, John, is ham radio is a great way to communicate, and I understand how some people don't like some of the requirements, and I don't disagree with everything that they're concerned about. I don't. And I had the same reservations when I had to renew my license. Oh, it's... I guess it's been just a few years ago, and had to do that and give that information. I really thought about just walking away from it because I wasn't that active with it anymore. I'm getting more active again. You know, you get into this, you do it for decades, and you'll find periods of time where you're just busy with business activities and other things. You don't have time to mess with it. But I enjoy the technical aspects of ham radio, and I like to build things, design circuits. And if I build a transmitter from scratch and I want to test it out on the air, the ham radio bands are an excellent way to do that. And I've done that many, many times. So I keep it for that reason only. But I'll tell you, with what I hear on the air sometimes, it's not bad, but I've heard certain things that I'd never heard in the past. A lot of people on there, no license, and they have their own networks. I've heard of them. And I think I told you about that once, John, and the language being used, I couldn't believe they were talking like that, no call signs, and they weren't getting caught. They weren't getting in trouble. But they eventually will. But I think with the way things are going, and the way technology has advanced, there'll be other communication systems set up in the future that will allow people to use things outside of cell phones. I really think that will happen. There's versions of that now with the GMRS and things like that. But I really feel that one of these days, the ham radio would just morph into another citizen's band. The CB operators have some very poor habits, and many of them have now come over to ham radio since there's no Morse code requirement anymore, and the testing requirements have been greatly relaxed. I think it's just going to turn into CB. It's already headed that way in many areas, so we'll see what happens. But my prediction is 10
Tom,
years.
Tom, thanks, sir. We appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
Top of the hour break. We'll be back to Dr. Pete. Stay tuned.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.